Praise the Lord. I am glad to be here. Thank the Lord that He is here. You know, I just think every time I expose you, sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, how wonderful it is to just be in that place where He is, in that place of His presence. And it is so true when we get into that place, that realm. You know, the things of this world do fade. They go, you know, the things that seem so important and pressing upon us and you know, difficult, all begin to fade in the presence of the Lord, the one who has the answers, the one who has the solutions for every situation, the God that can meet every need. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm very glad to be here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin and thank the Lord and talk to Him. Praise the Lord. Let's see how He'll lead us here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank You again for such a privilege. We thank You for such an opportunity. Thank You that we can gather together in Your name, Lord. Oh, God, we're quite spread out. But, oh, Lord, You're here in our presence. Oh, God, You're here to meet every need, Lord. Oh, God, You see, oh, God, every condition. You hear the cries of Your children. I pray, oh Lord, that You'd work here in a mighty, mighty way, Lord. I pray that You'd put faith within our hearts. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let us be stirred. Oh God, help us to make our hearts ready. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that we would be acceptable in Thy sight. And oh Lord, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh God, that You'd give us that faith to endure into the end. Oh God, oh Lord, to be right, to be ready. Oh God, to be prepared. Oh Lord, in all the ways. Oh God, all that You would have us to do, Lord, in this little time, this space that You've given us, oh Lord, to go forth and do Your will. Lord, I pray, oh God, that You'd help me as I minister. Oh God, I pray that You'd give me the words. Oh God, that You'd give me, oh God, the anointing, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that You'd give me the authority and You would give me the ability, Lord. For I could do nothing without You, Lord Jesus. I ask, oh Lord, for Thy help. I pray that You would talk to Your people, Lord. That You'd use it unto edification for Thy kingdom's sake, for Thy people's sake. Oh God, though we be scattered, Lord, You are in our midst, oh Lord. You are here to meet every need, Lord. I pray that faith would work, oh Lord Jesus, and that You would have Your way, Lord. Let the devil have no way, oh God, to intervene or to interfere. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let him not hinder. Oh God, we commit this service unto Thee and ask, oh Lord, that Thy will would be done. In Jesus' name, oh thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. It is a privilege to serve our God. Amen. The one who is so faithful. Great is His faithfulness. And oh my, yes, that is, you know, what we note on this earth and how noted it will be when we stand in His presence. We bow in His presence. I don't know how that will be on the other side, but I know that we're going to be forever at home with the Lord. And, oh, yes, and just, you know, fully, completely immersed in His presence. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to call this message, Be Thou Faithful. Be Thou Faithful. And we're going to be talking about faithfulness here tonight. I know it's a very important quality in the kingdom of God. Of course, here on this earth, it's esteemed to be rather important also. You know, people are forever looking for faithful people. You see signs up all over these days of need to hire people, and I'm told that, you know, it's very difficult to find good, faithful workers. You know, my daughter Becky has shared with me that, you know, they get people to work there at craft, and sometimes they show up for a day and never come back, maybe sometimes just for an hour, you know, and just leave. And, you know, it's just a very difficult world to find somebody who could withstand testing and trying and things that kind of, you know, get a little hard at times and still be faithful. but God is looking for such. And as we're going to see as we study tonight, it's of extreme importance that we would be faithful in our walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin by going to Revelation, the second chapter here. Praise the Lord. And just a few verses here as we look at the second chapter of Revelation and consider the church at Smyrna. It tells us in verse 8, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now listen to this, he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And verse 11 tells us, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and we know that second death is when God Almighty casts death and hell into the lake of fire. Oh my, but here we're told if we are faithful unto death, oh yes, for the endurance of our lives, you could say, "I will give thee a crown of life." The Lord Jesus spoke to those people there at the Church of Smyrna. They were a persecuted group, and they, you know, there's nothing negative said about them at all here in this study of the churches there that are addressed in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. But they were persecuted, and obviously they were poor. And oh yes, many were coming against them and oh, rebuking them and causing them much grief. And they were told that many of them would be cast, or some of them would be cast into prison and tried, and that there would be tribulation there for a period of testing, 10 days. But here they are encouraged, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Amen. Praise the Lord, the wonderful promises of God, the one who is so faithful and true. Oh yes, and we can count on him. Amen. Let's also go to the Old Testament for a verse. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And here, the 20th chapter of Proverbs, I'd like us to read the 6th verse. It says, Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness." But then there's a question. "But a faithful man, who can find?" Quite the question. "But a faithful man, who can find?" Oh my, something to ask, something to wonder. We know one thing for sure. Our God is faithful. And wow, we sang that song tonight there from the Psalms. There from the 89th chapter of the Psalms. And you know, that whole chapter talks about the faithfulness of God. We're not going to read that whole chapter, but oh my, as we sing, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that is something about our God. He is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has said in his word, we can claim. Yes, we can know that it is true and that will come to pass, those things that have been declared from the mouth of God. Because that is a very true characteristic of our God. He is faithful. Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Faithfulness and truth. We can stand on the counsels of our God. And oh, how he is worthy of our exaltation, of our praises, the wonderful things that he has done. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The Creator, the one who put us on this earth and gave us opportunity to serve him. Oh, yes. Very faithful God. His counsels of old, forever established, in other words, our faithfulness and truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. We go to the book of Revelation here for a moment, the 19th chapter. Oh, we see as our faithful God comes back to this earth for his people. And here it tells us in Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, yes, our faithful God, our true God coming back to judge this world in righteousness and to make war. Oh, yes, coming on that white horse. There he comes as the heavens open, and suddenly, there he is. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord, the people of the Lord. Oh, yes, those that have been with him and those that are caught up to be with him. Oh, praise the Lord, those that are called and chosen and faithful, as it tells us in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 14, that verse that we read. Oh, yes, our faithful God coming forth. There he is, coming forth with his armies, his people, which were in heaven, following him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, his time of judgment as he comes to judge the world in his righteousness. But he's coming in fierceness. He's coming with wrath. The time is over. Oh, yes, he has put up with the evil long enough at that moment. And time has expired. It tells us in verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a moment that will be when every eye shall see him. Oh, yes, oh, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Every tongue's going to acknowledge that he is Lord. Oh, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Oh, there's going to be understanding at that moment when every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, as it tells us in Revelation 1:7. Oh, yes, even so. Amen. Here he is. He who is the Alpha and Omega. the first and the last. He who is faithful and true. Oh, yes, coming forth to judge the world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, He is that solid rock. You know, if we go to Hebrews for a little here, Hebrews the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. It tells us, oh, yes, how impossible it is and was for God to lie. Just looking at the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews and beginning with verse 13, it tells us, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he had obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. And they did that under the law. They did that in the time of the Old Testament. They did that to confirm their word, you know, to, you know, confirm that this was something they were going to stand by. And it was meant to be taken with, you know, all, you know, a sincerity and to be something that would be believed and held to. It was an oath, in other words. And it was used to end strife, conflicts, things that needed to be settled. And God wanted to make a promise. He wanted to affirm to Abraham that he was going to bless him. And so, because he could not swear by a greater, there is no greater, he swore by himself to bring forth that oath. And it tells us in verse 17 here in Hebrews 6, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And that word, immutability, means that it's unchangeable. It's fixed. It's not going to be varied or changed. It's settled. It's immutable. Praise the Lord. So it tells us in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Oh, praise the Lord, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope of set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, because it is impossible for God to lie, we can lay hold on his promises. We know that they are forever settled. They're not going to be one way one moment and change the next. No matter who's in charge of this earth as far as humanity is concerned, it's not going to alter what God has declared, what he has said. It is settled. And we can rest in his hope, therefore. It's as an anchor of the soul. It's sure and it's steadfast. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus Christ has entered into that within the veil. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is established. And it is settled, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, our God is one that is faithful and true. Oh, like none other, praise the Lord. And what a strong consolation for the children of God that we can lay hold upon that hope that is set before us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our God is faithful. Amen. That's established. We can verify that. We can know it. Oh, yes. We can believe it. Amen. But along with that, he expects his people to be faithful. Amen. And oh, I just read that verse from Revelation 17:14 just a few minutes ago. And, you know, again, it says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Praise the Lord. I believe it was in Revelation 17. Yes, okay, praise the Lord. But oh, this verse that settles certain issues here, it tells us, yes, as these times are coming to pass, and we are seeing it, the beast system, the giving over of the heart, of the mind, the governments coming together. God only knows how that shall all add up and how it will be. But it tells us, again, in that 14th verse of Revelation 17, that they are actually in opposition to the Lord Jesus. And all their efforts are in rebellion, actually, to the will of God, to the directives of God Almighty, in their defiance, trying to bring about their one world, their kingdom here on this earth, their millennium, all that they desire at the risk of everybody else. But in reality, they are coming against the Lord Jesus. And it tells us that they shall make war with the Lamb. But praise God, you know the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall overcome them. And we can believe that. Oh, yes, because what has been declared will come to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. For it tells us he is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And praise the Lord, those that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I want to stop here a minute. Here, it mentions three important details here concerning those that are with the Lord, those that come back with him to rule and to reign with him for all eternity, his children. It states that they are called and that they are chosen and that they are faithful. These are all very important details here. We know that when we are called initially, it is a call to repentance. The Lord calling us forth at a time when we didn't really know him. It describes that in Revelation 3, verse 20, where it states, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man shall hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Praise the Lord. That's the knock on our heart's door. When there is that realization deep within that we are a sinner, that we need to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus, that realization that he is real. Oh, yes, and that he is inviting us to come unto him. Oh, as he is knocking at the door of our heart, that voice that speaks to our inner man. If we can respond, if we can open the door, there is a promise that he will come in to that individual who will bid him to come in. And he will sup with him, and he with me, it says. And that means that we have communication with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our invitation from God Almighty as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that we would come to him in repentance and acknowledge our need, our sin, with the ability, with his grace, from his grace, by his grace, to turn from that sin, to begin a new life in Christ Jesus. So first of all, there's an invitation. And with that call to repentance, there's a call to obedience, a submitting of ourselves to the Lord Jesus and a willingness to obey his commands. We see that on the day of Pentecost, there in Acts, the second chapter, when Peter preached his first message there, after they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that those that stood without and heard what he said, it tells us that they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, they were convicted. And they asked, because of that conviction, as it tells us in the 37th verse of Acts, the second chapter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter gave the answer. And it is a call. It's a call to obedience likewise too. Peter said unto them in the 38th verse of Acts, the second chapter, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Praise the Lord. And I thank God he did, with many other words, testify and exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." But we see in the 41st verse here in Acts, the second chapter, that there was a response to this call. They obeyed. They complied with this call. It tells us in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Praise the Lord. That wonderful call of the Lord Jesus Christ, that invitation to come. Let him in. Let him in your heart. Let him come in. Talk to you. Sup with you. Have fellowship with you. And praise the Lord, you with him likewise. How that ability to let him in and then to obey what his will is in our lives, his commandments. Jesus said to those that followed him in John, the 14th chapter, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Oh, yes, and that was an expectation for those that wanted a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to them that were called. And if we are chosen, that is something, you know, we don't have a tag that's put upon us. No, you are chosen. But our actions bear out those details, those very needful details. And with the call and that choosing, there is a process, a building process, as we begin to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. And we know, he takes our lives. It's such a wonderful thing, because we come to him as we are. But he begins to remake us, praise the Lord, to make us a new creature in Christ, to take away the old sins, the old reproach, the old ways of thinking and acting, behaving, dressing, all those things that were once a part of our lifestyle, our thinking and all. He begins to mold us and to shape us. He begins a building process within our being, Amen. Praise the Lord. So that we can be changed. So that we can live in victory. So that we can become faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we just turn here for a little to 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'd like to read a portion of this. It tells us in the first verse here, 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So here I believe we're getting a little more understanding to that calling. It's a divine call that he has called us with. It pertains unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of his word. That calling is to glory and virtue. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Not to remain as we were, but oh, yes, to go on, to be a partakers in the kingdom of God, to be partakers of his divine power. Amen. And he goes on to describe it even more in verse 4 and beyond. It says in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh my, I mean, we were all victims of the world. We were born into this world. We all had a sinful nature. We had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord, in his mercy, in his greatness, made a way of escape, a way that we could escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And therefore, be partakers of the divine nature. I mean, come on, this is unbelievable, really. People, you know, through mythology and all of that, make their gods and goddesses and, you know, try to liken them and try to give them some qualities that perhaps could be considered supernatural. But indeed, they're nothing. They're just the imitations or the imaginations of man in kind of imitating characteristics that are manlike, womanlike, and you know, that's the best that people could do in their imaginations. But the Lord made a way of escape so that we could be partakers of his divine nature. Praise the Lord. And goes on to tell us in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. The word diligence means our very best effort, our utmost effort to go forth to make these things a reality. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, verse 9 tells us, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, all the old characteristics that have, you know, been a part of our nature, they'll creep back if we don't give diligence to that call of God, if we don't go forth to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Oh, if we don't, you know, go forward to do the things that are needful in the sight of God. And yes, we begin with faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God, we're told. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to begin with faith. But then we begin to add to that faith virtue, which is moral excellence. And to that virtue, knowledge. Oh yes, from the Word of God. From, oh yes, being with the Lord Jesus. He's going to change us. He's going to remake us. And to that knowledge, the need to add temperance, which is self-control or self-restraint. To temperance, adding patience. Patience doesn't come easily. No, it's often through trials and tribulation, hard things, that we grow more patient. But you see, these are steps in our spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. And with that patience, we want to add godliness. Oh my, taking on the characteristics of God. And even to that, brotherly kindness. Oh yes, shown by compassion towards others. Kind deeds. Oh yes, those things that we can do to help and edify one another in many different ways. And to brotherly kindness, it says charity. That love that the Lord Jesus had for us when he died on the cross to give his life on our behalf. Oh yes, that love that gives without wanting anything in return. Agape love. Oh yes, and these are patterns that we want to follow here. Oh yes, these are steps in our growth in the Lord, so that we can grow at grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We can put on characteristics of the Lord, be partakers of his divine power. So yes, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 9 tells us, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So that critical spirit that comes upon people at times, oh, that forgetting, oh yes, how the Lord redeemed us, and oh, that we need to strive for the mastery, strive, oh yes, oh, to be like the Lord Jesus. But we are told, oh, the great need in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And praise the Lord, those that are called and chosen of the Lord, oh yes, are going to be zealous. They're going to be diligent to make their calling and election sure. Oh yes, for we're told, if oh we go forth in this manner, we do these things here that have been given to us to aid our growth, that oh yes, we're not going to fall. Therefore, we're going to make our calling and election sure. Oh, we need to go forth and do the things that please the Lord, the things that make us to grow in the Lord Jesus, so that we can be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 11 tells us here in this first chapter of 2 Peter, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what positive steps these are. Oh, yes, once we have accepted that invitation to come unto the Lord, and we have obeyed what He declares is His will for us to do. And yes, to go forth to make our calling and election sure so that we can be faithful. Oh, yes, as we strive for the mastery, praise the Lord. You know, being faithful means that we're not going to give up. We might flunk some tests. We might become very discouraged. We might go through affliction. We might have trials. We might have tests. We might have sickness. We might have pain. We might have bad days. We might have good days. But what we know is that there is a race that must be run. And that, you know, we want to be judged faithful when we stand before our God. We want to be full of faith, in other words. To be faithful means that we're steadfast. We're dependable. We're loyal. We're true. We've adhered firmly and devotedly to the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we're talking about a faith that doesn't waver, that goes forward. Oh, a faith that can be trusted. To be faithful means that you're worthy of trust and reliable. If a person is faithful, you can give them an assignment and believe that they're going to carry it out. And thus it is, our Heavenly Father has given us assignments therefore too. And if we are to be judged faithful, then by His grace and mercy, with His strength, with His help, for surely we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. No, it's not going to be of our own abilities. It's not going to be of our own strength. No, because there's a realization that we've got to turn it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him operate in our lives. Let Him change us and mold us. Oh, yes, learning to depend upon Him so that we could go forth and do His will and be accounted faithful in His sight. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 tells us, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is just an expectation. If you have the job of being a steward, you've waited on other individuals, you were under their supervision, then you would be expected to carry out those things that they have asked of you to do. And that is, you know, a requirement. That you would be found faithful. You know, if you have a job and you don't come to work, you're not going to keep that job, are you? If you have a job and you're told to do such and such a task, and you think, well, I don't want to do that. Oh, that's not my style. That's not what I want to do. Are you going to keep that job? No, we're told, you know, that if you're a steward, then it's required of you that you would be found faithful. Let's go to Luke, the 16th chapter. There's more that Jesus said in this regard here. We look at Luke 16. And I think these are some really important details here. It tells us in Luke 16, and I'm going to verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So it's either you are judged faithful or you are judged unfaithful. And this is quite, you know, a thing to think of, because, you know, sometimes we kind of look for, you know, the bigger assignments or the more important things. that's what's going to make us faithful. Well, no, that's not what is being said here. In this 10th verse, I believe it is telling us that even the small things are important. It's not how big or important the assignment is. What matters is how faithful we are in carrying it out. So, we all are individuals. And God has blessed us with all different, abilities and traits, personalities, talents, and all. And it isn't, trying to be like somebody else. Or trying to, have somebody else's style or, wishing for their talents, perhaps. No, what God expects is that we would use that which He has given us as individuals. Amen. And to be faithful with it. No matter what the assignment, to carry it out. To carry it out with diligence. To the very best of our ability, so that we're faithful in that which He has committed unto us to do. Amen. Well, I think in many ways, I think it's kind of relieving because, I'm not expected to do something that is beyond me. The Lord didn't give me that ability, then He's not going to expect it of me. But those gifts that He has given me, those are the things that He will be looking for. Those are the things that He is requiring. Amen. So He said, again in verse 10, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And praise the Lord. Oh, maybe our assignment is, to be a greeter. To greet people, as they come into church, perhaps. Or maybe to write letters. Oh, maybe just sing a song. Or God only knows, to pass out sandwiches. Oh, it could be so many different possibilities. But the thing is, regardless of what our abilities are, we want to carry out our assignment. We want to be faithful because he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So if we don't carry through with what God has asked us to do, then we will be judged unfaithful. Verse 11 says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So, the unrighteous mammon being the secular obligations. And they do count. Yes, we want to be faithful in all our tasks. The question is, who will commit to you your true riches? Or who will commit to your trust the true riches? The eternal riches, in other words. Verse 12 tells us, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So, on every front, we see the need to be faithful in the responsibilities that the Lord has given us as individuals. He doesn't expect us to do things that are beyond us, the things that He hasn't asked us to do. For He gave each of us our own set of talents, abilities. And He expects us to use that which He has given us. Amen. And we want to have that realization that the things that we do, we want to be able to do it as unto the Lord. As it tells us in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Oh my, we must take these words to heart. And if we can't do something unto the Lord, then we better not do it at all. I mean, if it's an assignment that, you know, we can't glorify the Lord in, if it's, you know, something that would be in opposition to the will of God, then we better not do it. Because the things that we do, we want to do them heartily, with all our heart, as to the Lord and not unto man, because it's of the Lord that we're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. We're servants of the Lord. We're servants of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And if we do wrong, we're going to receive for that wrong. And we're told that there's no respect of persons with God. Amen. Amen. Things to take to heart. Amen. Oh, yes, things. Oh, yes, to think on. Amen. You know, Brother Samuel talked about Daniel last Sunday. I think we all gleaned from that, enjoyed that message so much. But, you know, just a few little things I want to note here, considering Daniel's faithfulness. Tells us in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. See, there was a trust that even the king, Darius, could find in Daniel, and because of that trust, he set him over the whole realm. That was his goal, to set him over the whole realm. There was an excellent spirit in him. He was trustworthy. Of course, the others didn't like it. The 4th verse here in Daniel 6 tells us, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Isn't that something? This was his reputation. This is how they found him. They could find no faults in this man. All they could see is that he was faithful. He was without error or fault. And all they could think to do, that there was no way that they were going to find anything to, to come against him, to oppose him, other than if they came against his faith in his God. Because not only was Daniel faithful in his service to the king, Daniel was faithful to his God. And they could see it, and they could know it. Of course, we know what they did. They plotted against him, and they conspired against him. And they went to the king and, you know, asked him if he, you know, I just, they kind of, you know, they made him, you know, think that it would be an honor for him to, you know, not allow any kinds of praise or any kind of things of that matter to anyone but himself for this period of time. And, you know, because you know, they enticed him in such a manner, you know, he gave in to their whim, not realizing what it was meant to do and what it would do. He went and signed the decree that they had asked him to sign, that royal statute that, you know, that no one could ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save except for the king. And if one would dare to do so, they would be cast into the den of lions. Well, they knew Daniel would not alter his worship to his God because of the decree. And yes, you know, it tells us after the king signed it, in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. See that faithful pattern? Oh, it wasn't altered by the king's decree. Oh my, you know, he went forward and worshiped his God, kneeled before his God as he had always been doing before that decree was signed. Praise the Lord, he was faithful. He was faithful in all his ways to the best of his ability. Praise the Lord, and the Lord saw it. The Lord sees one's faithfulness. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, God saw a very faithful man. He was a Gentile. He was of the Italian band. He was a centurion. But also, he was a devout man. He was one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. In other words, he was a faithful man. He was serving God to the very best of his knowledge. And God took note of that. Oh, praise the Lord. God gave him a vision where he saw an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Verse 4 tells us, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. God had noticed his faithfulness. And then they began to give him instructions. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord sees faithfulness. And oh, what a wonderful story that is there in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Oh, yes, as Peter was called to come to his house, his home, and Cornelius had gathered his friends, all his family, as many as he could into his home so they could hear the words that Peter would give them. Oh, how they might know God. And praise the Lord, as Peter was yet preaching unto him and that audience, oh yes, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God came upon them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, and Peter realized that God was pouring out of his Spirit even upon the Gentile people. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God sees thankfulness. And Cornelius had been thankful. And not only did he see and understand the story of the Lord Jesus, but he obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, those that are with the Lord are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 25th chapter here. Praise the Lord. We're going to go into a parable that Jesus Christ told. And I'm not sure how much time I have left. That clock isn't working. But anyway, let's go forward here. It tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19 tells us, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24 tells us, Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Oh my. I get from this parable that Jesus told, and I know he's telling. Oh, yes, how it is. He's comparing himself to that man that is traveling into a far country. And before he left, he gathered his servants together, and he gave unto them his goods. And it tells us that he gave unto 1 5 talents, another 2, another 1 1, and every man according to his several ability. Then he went to take his journey, straightway took his journey. And what the Lord is telling us, he was coming back to receive us unto himself. In that interim, while he is gone, he is expecting his servants to invest that which hath been given unto them as individual, every man according to his several ability. Whatever it is, be it great or small, the Lord is expecting us to invest into his kingdom, to take that which he hath given us and to use it, and to let it be multiplied. For after a long time, as he mentioned in the 19th verse in this parable, he's going to come back. He's going to reckon with his servants. It's going to be time to declare what we have done with that which the Lord hath given us. And as the examples go in this parable, the one that had 5 talents and used them, invested in them, gained another 5 talents. He was able to bring those 10 to the Lord. And he was commended. Praise the Lord. The Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And likewise, the one with 2 talents, who took those 2 talents and used them to gain 2 more talents, was commended. He was told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He used that. He did that which was expected of him. And how, oh, he was commended. And oh, how he was rewarded exceedingly in reality of the little that he did. He tells us in that 29th verse, you know, he shall have abundance, those that invested, those that used that which the Lord gave and were given more, therefore. But that man, that individual who took that talent and didn't use it, who hid that talent in the earth. In other words, he did nothing with that talent. He did not invest that talent. He did not use it. He was afraid. He was afraid. I might make a mistake. People might think I'm silly. I don't have that kind of confidence. I don't know what I could do as a person. Really, you know, you can't expect me to do anything, can he? So, you know, he was afraid what others might think. You know, he might make a blunder. You know, he might, you know, become a laughing stock, perhaps, he feared, and whatever all, you know. He did nothing. But, you know, he hid it so that, yeah, when his Lord came back, you know, he could at least, you know, go find it and you know, hand it in, so to speak. But he was not commended. No. The Lord, who went into a far country, expected his servants, his own servants, those that were delivered his goods, to use that which had been given them, great or small. They were expected to invest it in the kingdom of God. And this servant who was afraid and hid his talent in the earth was totally rebuked. Verse 26 says, again, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." Oh, yes. He instructed, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath not." And furthermore, verse 30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Oh, as individuals, the Lord has called us. And he has given us something that we can use. Every one of us has something that we can use. We're all a part of the kingdom of God. And if we will all do our part, oh my, what a glorious fulfillment that would be. But oh, how important it is to make our calling and election sure, to go forth and to be faithful. Oh yes, as the Lord Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, praise the Lord, and we know those that come back with the Lord, those that are with Him throughout all eternity, are called and chosen and faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. God expects us to take that which He has given us and use it as we can while we still have a little bit of time, so that we will be obedient, faithful servants, going forth and doing our Master's will, so that when that moment comes and we stand before Him, we can stand without rebuke. We can stand in His approval. Oh, yes, and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, thou hast been faithful in a little, but I'm going to make you ruler over many. Praise the Lord. Enter into the joys of my Lord. Oh, yes, you've been faithful over a few things. But, oh, our God is going to take that little that we invested for His sake and reward us abundantly. Praise the Lord. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of my Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. How we want to be faithful, called, chosen, and faithful. Oh, yes, to be thou faithful unto death. Oh, yes, that we may be given that crown of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the faithful judge, our Lord, our Savior, our Master. Praise the Lord, that which He hath prepared for His people. How we want to be faithful. Thank the Lord. We have opportunity. We have moments. We can give it over to the Lord and let Him rule and reign in our lives. Let Him use us for His name's sake. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that we would all be judged faithful, Lord, that you could commend us, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, God, you tug at our hearts and help us, Lord. There be some that have not yet given into that call. I pray, oh, Lord, that they would make that calling. Oh, sure, Lord, that you would tug at their hearts. Help them to turn their lives over to you right now while they have time. Oh, Lord, and help us to go forth. Oh, Lord, to not only obey that call, but, oh, Lord, to go forth and do the things that would make our calling and election sure. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, help us, talk to us. Oh, God, help us so that we could stand before Thee and be called faithful. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn to number 86 in the chorus book and sing, I'm going to work and watch and pray. Number 86. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve him every day. I'm gonna see his face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to his voice. I'm gonna make his will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet him in the morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.